Just have a few thoughts to share on the Lord's temptation in us. When I felt like the Lord had given me some thoughts on this, I thought, you know, it'd be a whole lot better if I was maybe 20 or 30 years older than I already am and can come with a lot of experience and so forth. But, you know, I was thinking that all of us are going to be dealing with temptation. Doesn't matter how old we are, from a small child who's trying to learn to obey, teenagers, young people, up until we're old. And I think about, even on our deathbed, if the devil can get us to yield to temptation, he sees that as a win. And so this subject is really nothing new, but perhaps the Lord can encourage us through it, and I pray that it will bless everyone. The definition of temptation is the desire to do something that is especially wrong or unwise, or the desire to engage in a short-term urge that threatens a long-term goal. That's making it to heaven for a Christian. And the thing is we will all be tempted. If somebody says, I don't feel any temptation, I want to know, whose side are you on? I want to ask you, are you still alive? Because we're all going to face temptation at some point. And I was thinking about this. This is a passage of scripture that we're very familiar with. We all know the basics of it. You know, Jesus is our hero, so to speak, who gets tempted of the devil. And then we have the villain, the devil, of course, who does what he can to get Jesus to yield. And of course, Jesus rebuffs him, and then the devil leaves, and we sort of know that story. But I was thinking about how important this story is, because Jesus is our example. Think about how there was no mistake that he went through this temptation. He went through it so we can go through it as well. If I am trying to learn something for myself, I want to know that it's somebody who's gone through it successfully. If I'm trying to learn to better myself as far as finances, I don't want it to be the person who filed for bankruptcy 2 or 3 times and now he's living on food stamps. That's not the person that I want to learn from. So Hebrews 4:14 says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Jesus was tempted on all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so I want to talk about, first of all, where does temptation originate? James 1:14 has an answer for us there. And he says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And when we talk about lust, what that means is a self-absorbed desire for an object, a person, or experience that is strong and unreasonable. And one of the commentators that I looked up talked about bait on a hook. I don't know how many of us have went fishing, but I want to tell you what, I've never really caught a fish by simply putting a hook on a line, throwing it in the water. There's got to be some bait on that thing, something that fish can smell, something that fish can see. He desires that, but then he doesn't know that inside of that is actually the hook. That's sort of the lust, if you will. And what I want to say is the devil uses our own desires against us, whether it's legitimate or it's not, to trap us. And so it becomes important that we identify our own weaknesses, that we understand that the devil is looking for chinks in our armor, so to speak. That's one of the reasons why we need to cast down our imaginations, because the devil wants to use what we essentially give him, so to speak, use that against us. And the devil is always looking for ammunition, and he doesn't fight fair. So in other words, a lot of times the battles that we face, we want to blame, well, this is just the devil, but many times it starts off as an inside job. So in other words, he's taking whatever we already want ourselves and turning that thing against us. So it becomes important that we mortify, or we put to death the flesh, and look inside of ourselves, look inside for God's help in our lives. There is three ways or categories the devil likes to bring temptation to us. And the Apostle John in 1 John 2 and 16 identifies what this is. He says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So, you know, I used to think when people would quote that scripture that Jesus was tempted on all points like as we are. I used to, really? Like, was Jesus ever tempted to do drugs, so to speak? But what I believe is talking about is these three points of temptation. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All the temptations that we face, most of the time will come in within those three categories. And that's what Jesus fought against. That's what Jesus got victory over. And that's the same victory that we can have today. So I'm going to be going back and forth between Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. It's the same account, but maybe some different details, and I just want to point some of these things out. I pray that it will be a blessing to us. Now, in Matthew chapter 3 and 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I was thinking about this is a time speaking of when Jesus had just been baptized. He was obeying his Father. And it said the Spirit came down like a dove upon him. In other words, God himself had just validated Jesus Christ. And I want to say that what Jesus was going through is what we call a mountaintop experience or a spiritual high. And we all go through, hopefully we all go through spiritual highs. I've been there myself when the Lord especially blesses you. His Spirit is upon you. And I have to admit when that happens, I go away feeling like, you know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can, what's that scripture say, run through a troop and over a wall, something like that. But you know, that doesn't happen all the time. That's not the state that we always live in. And so what we find is that the devil is going to come to you when you have that spiritual low, so to speak. I'm not saying that Jesus had a spiritual low, but notice when the devil came after him is when after 40 days. He didn't come at him when the Holy Spirit was coming down as a dove. He didn't do that. He waited till later when he was at more of a physical disadvantage, if you will. But when we do go through these spiritual highs, I want you to encourage you to enjoy these times, to rearm and refit and prepare for the next battle, because the devil is going to come to us. Yeah. Now, Matthew says in chapter 4, it says, "Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Now, Luke says he was full of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that it's so important that we be filled up with the Holy Spirit as we go through our trials and temptations. It's one thing that if we just we're out of the will of God and we go to our own way and we start hitting temptations, that's one thing. But if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in the Lord and you find yourself, we can have confidence that it was the Lord who actually brought us to this point, and he's going to bring us on out of it as well. And so if we're led by the Lord, we know that he planned our steps. We can have confidence in him. Be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, I was thinking that Satan is way too experienced for us to be going at him all by ourselves. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And I was thinking that in that armor, that includes our defense and our offense against the devil. This is one of the reasons why we teach sanctification, not just salvation. Because when we have the Spirit of God, it's a force multiplier. Force multiplier, that is a military term, so to speak. So you can have a one man with his rifle, and that's a force to be reckoned with. But if you add in another group of soldiers with them, maybe a man with the radio who's in contact with the Air Force or the Navy for more, then that man becomes a force. He can be that can be reckoned with. In other words, there's a lot more behind him than just a man. That's why we need the Spirit of God on our side. That when the devil comes against us, he's seeing more than just us. He's seeing the Spirit of God behind us as well, in front of us. I want us to consider the physical battle that Jesus was going through, the physical disadvantage where he was at. We notice that Jesus was fasting for 40 days. The Bible says that he was hungry. He was probably weak and he was probably tired. It says, verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. This was a draining experience for Jesus Christ, 40 days without food. I want to say again that the devil does not fight fair. Remember he said in Gethsemane when these disciples had fallen asleep and he needed them to pray through with him. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. One of the things we need to realize that when our flesh is weak, that's when the devil can try to come in and do some damage. He attacks us when we're tired, we're frustrated, maybe distracted, hungry. Maybe we're grieving, physically sick, hurting, in pain. Because sometimes when we're in those conditions, we might say or do things that we don't normally do. You know, we're realizing that sometimes nighttime is when we need to really watch ourselves. In the morning, sometimes our mind is fresh and we can really put up a defense. But we need to watch these times when we're physically at a disadvantage. You know, I think about children, just for example. Say you have a jar of cookies and you tell the children you can't have any cookies. Well, then next time you turn around and they're at the cookies. And you ask, who told you that you can get the cookies? You know what they say? You did. What they did was they waited till you were half asleep. They waited till you were distracted and you weren't really thinking about things. And then they asked you the question and then they got into the cookies. And so that's exactly what the devil wants to do to us. Distract us. Wait till we're not really paying attention and he wants to sneak something in. And the problem is when our physical needs are really crying out, sometimes it can become louder than anything else, and that's what we pay attention to. And so I want to talk about the first temptation, which is the lust of the flesh. And what that is something tempting us to do the wrong thing to satisfy us physically. I want to turn to Luke 4, 3 through 4. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answering him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. One thing I want to notice here is that the devil immediately challenged Jesus as the Son of God. We all know that he was validated, the Holy Spirit came down on him, but that's exactly where Jesus attacked him at. And you know, the devil wants to challenge us as the children of God as well. And the way I believe he does this is he says, now if you're really saved, why are you dealing with this problem over here? Why are you sick? Why are you broke right now? You're having money problems. Maybe it's relatives who aren't doing well. Aren't you supposed to be saved? And then what I believe that he likes to do is he likes to point out people who are not saved or maybe living at a different level. They don't have the same convictions that you have. And he's going to point out, look how good they're doing. All right. And he says, and then he's going to say, well, why do you have to face this particular battle over here? And so, isn't the Lord supposed to be taking care of you in this situation here? And the problem is if we allow the devil to begin to talk to us, it becomes bigger and bigger in our minds. And we forget exactly what the Lord has done for us up to that point. And see, the devil loves this technique because now what he's doing is he's inserting doubt into our doubt in God and his provision for us. So Lord, help us with this. Now, what the enemy was trying to do was get Jesus to put his physical needs above in front of what God had planned for him. So in other words, Jesus, I want you to use your available power that you have and take care of your needs right now. You know, this is the same temptation that we face. Because I believe what the devil is saying is don't trust in God. You have the ability to do this yourself. Go ahead, jump in and take care of this thing. So it's a challenge to trust in God every single day. Put Him first in everything that we do. In Philippians 4:19 it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now the way that Jesus dealt with this temptation was by clearly saying that this bread, I think it represents our physical needs, issues of the flesh, and He's saying that these things are all secondary. We depend on God. We are not focused on things of this world. And so look, just like Jesus Christ, we need to esteem the Word of God higher than our necessary food. And so Jesus ended that particular temptation. I want to go to a fit 5-8. Now, second temptation is the lust of the eyes. This is the temptation to look at and have something that we shouldn't. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, shewed unto him the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered, said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You know, the devil is still offering power and glory for those who want it. And the thing is we can see the results of people who are chasing fame. And in this day and age that we live in with social media, it becomes easier and easier to chase that fame. You know, I was listening to an interview on the internet while I was doing some work. And there was an actor who said, "You know what, you don't have to, go to L.A. or New York to get famous." You see, if you have a computer, if you have a camera, you have all that stuff at home. You can start putting things out on the internet to get noticed. And the thing is the problem with that is what are people doing in order to get noticed? Some people are doing some pretty despicable things. And the thing is, we see the results of that. How many celebrities just this year have killed themselves? How many of them have had drug overdoses, gotten divorced, became bankrupt, they're suffering from depression, some of them have lost their families? These are the rewards of seeking after whatever the devil has for us. And the thing is, to get that fame and that power, all of them are paying some kind of price. And we don't really, I mean, most of us will say, no, they're not really bowing down to Satan. But I guarantee you, if it's not sanctioned by the Lord, the other person on the opposite side is the devil, that's who they're worshiping behind all that they're going after. A lot of them are compromising their morals, being a slave to their profession. They are sacrificing time with family and just love and even their health to achieve this their dreams. I was speaking with an individual on the job who has connections with people in Nashville. And his friend in Nashville said how sad it is that thousands of people are going to Nashville trying to become a country music star. And then he said that they're living out of their cars. They're just being waiters and waitresses. And after years and years, they will not give up on their dream until after it's all gone and they have nothing. And they die with nothing. And I was thinking that that's just what the Lord does. Sometimes He offers so many false promises. Yeah. People latch on to that. And when it's all said and done, they have nothing. But what does that have to do with us? Most of us aren't trying to be a celebrity. But you know, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves gravitating towards these things as well. You know, it's the lust of the eyes, the temptation to have something that we shouldn't. You know, all of us want to be recognized on the job. All of us want to be recognized for doing a good job, so to speak. A lot of us have some drive and ambition for something. But my question is our thoughts and everything that our secret desires are they really given over to the Lord? Because if not, the devil is going to offer us some false promises there. And even if we reach a certain amount of success within ourselves and in our lives, you know, we can still lose everything, including our soul. One of the devil's tactics is to say, you know what? You can be saved over here and still have what you want over there. But I think about that scripture that says that no man can serve two masters. So it doesn't matter that, that scripture is talking about having money, but it holds true for everything else in life. No man can serve two masters. Either choose one or serve the other. Think about Psalms 24 and 1. You know, it says the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof, and they that dwell it therein. So what the devil's offering is not really his. I believe that Jesus dealt with this by refusing to put anything, everything above God, and he was determined to worship the Lord alone. And so to deal with the lust of the eyes, I believe that we need to lift the Lord up above everything, above the desires of the world. I want to encourage every one of us to dive head first into the Lord. You know, so many times it's like if we have some oceanfront property, we can enjoy looking at the ocean, even waiting a little bit. But to really fully enjoy it, dive in. Enjoy it. Be able to swim in it, so to speak. Fully commit to the Lord and don't look back. And I believe that if we understand the deep love of God that he has for us, and we understand and get a vision of holiness, I believe the things of this world will begin to fade for us. I believe the Lord has a satisfaction for us that when we look at everything else, we don't need it. We have what we need in the Lord. Want to turn to, Luke 4, 9 through 12. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This brings us to the third temptation, it's the pride of life. That's the temptation to be proud of oneself and who you are. I remember listening to a sermon Brother Daryl Johnson years ago said that the pride of life is one of the most difficult out of the three to identify, because many times we can automatically say that's the lust of the flesh, that's the lust of the eyes, but the pride of life has to do with who we are. So it's possible for me to sit there on a bench and say I'm just a humble saint of God and be very proud of being humble, so to speak. The problem is pride can be easily hidden. If we can have pride in any particular situation, that's dangerous for the people of God. This is why that we need the Holy Spirit to examine ourselves and root it out, that we walk in humility before the Lord and also each other. But as we look at this temptation, notice in the first temptation what Satan did. What he did was he told Jesus that God wasn't taking care of him. He's saying he's not taking care of your physical needs. But in this third temptation, what he says is, go ahead and trust God, but I want you to do it and trust him in the wrong manner. So what he did was misuse scripture to try to get Jesus to do something reckless and do something that God really never intended him to do, and then God's going to rescue him anyway. And so I believe the devil says the same thing to us as well. You're a child of God. You have the ability to go to trust him in this, that, and the other, but it's not in the place that God wants us to be. Going beyond what God has promised us. And I believe that's to shake our faith in God. I think about how many people have really held on to something that God's going to bless me in this, and God really never promised him to do that. You think about the health and the wealth doctrine out there. The people are really believing that if I get saved, this is going to happen, but God never really promised them that. That's false doctrine. That's misusing scriptures, twisting it for your own advantage. One of the issues that we can run into is running ahead of God in a situation and then expecting God to bless. For instance, we can get into a relationship issue or a financial problem, just jump into it and then expect, oh, God's going to take care of it. When really we should have slowed down and said, Lord, what is your will in this situation? So the devil wants us to trust God way beyond what God intended. So it becomes important that, Lord, help me to have a good understanding of Scripture. Help me to have a good understanding of your will, because I want to be right exactly where you are. Because if that's where I am, I know the Lord is going to bless me right there, and he's going to have my back. I was thinking about also it's important that we are actually living a life that God can bless. How many people that we know are living a life that we know they're not saved? I mean, we don't want to just simply judge them, but according to their fruits, we're not sure where they are, but yet they want to claim God, and God is going to bless me here, and thank the Lord, praise God there, he's blessing me. That is trusting in God in a place that we shouldn't be. You know, the devil quoted in this temptation, Psalms 91, 11, and 12, and I won't turn there. But that is a scripture that's talking about God's divine protection on us. But you know, it is not a license to do whatever we want and then expect God to cover that for us. So Lord, help us here. Spiritual pride can get us in a lot of difficult situations, and is hoping that God's going to somehow take care of this thing. And so what Jesus did was remind us in this temptation, reminded Satan in this temptation not to tempt the Lord, not to tempt God. And I think that reminds us to just stand firm in whatever God has given us. Whatever he has revealed to us in our life, stay right there. That's where God's blessings is. Don't go further than that. Don't lag behind, but be exactly where God wants us to be. And Luke 4 and 13 says, when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. The devil did leave, but I believe that was not the last time the devil came back to tempt Jesus Christ. I think about in the garden when Jesus was praying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I believe the devil was right there saying, yes, let this cup pass from you. And I believe that he was saying the cross is going to hurt. It's going to be painful. Don't go to the cross. And so I believe that we must be prepared to fight again. Just because we fight the devil and he's given us a reprieve, so to speak, we still need to be ready to get up and fight again. The devil doesn't quit just because we had one victory against him. Now, Matthew 4 and 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I appreciate this scripture because I believe it tells about who God is. That we can be in a real battle for our lives, and we can be tired and we can be hurt, but the Lord can send his angels. He can send his spirit to pick us up and restore us and keep us going. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Some other observations. I just want to notice the timing. When did the devil tempt Jesus? It was really before his ministry had even gotten started. He wanted, of course, to ruin God's plan for us. And I thank God that Jesus didn't yield. I think history would be a whole lot different if Jesus did yield to these temptations. But I was thinking about, you know, no matter how old we are, God has a plan for your life right now. So in the motivational world, there's a saying that today is the first day of the rest of your life. And there's some truth to that. My point is that the devil wants to get you to yield today. He wants you to get you to yield tomorrow. Because if he can do that, he can drastically alter the plan of your life. I was thinking about how many people that we know that we're praying for. You know, there are some people that they're the only ones saved in their family. And if the devil can get us to yield and get us going to a different direction, how many people who, whether they knew it or not, are depending on our prayers? How many people are looking to us to show them the way? And if we yield to these temptations, it's going to make a difference in their lives. You know, I think about the King David and how he yielded to the temptation. The first yield, in my opinion, was when he didn't go off to battle. It said the time when kings go to battle and he didn't go out and do what he was supposed to do. And we know that he had the problem with Bathsheba. You know, from there it led to his son Amnon defiling his sister Tamar, which then led to Absalom killing Amnon. And then he came very close to taking David's throne away. And because David yielded to the temptation of just staying home, we find all the problems that begin to come into his life. David's life and his kingdom was never the same after that. I want us to beware of yielding to the small temptations, the ones that seem inconsequential, the ones that don't really matter. And maybe it's not really even sin, but what I want to say is, when we yield to one temptation, it becomes easier to yield to it again. I was thinking about how, you know, if we decide, you know what, I want to change my diet and I want to exercise, and you begin to maybe walk or something and things are going well. Well, then what happens when you get tired one day and you say, you know what, I'm just tired. I'm not going to do it this time. And then you pick it up the next day, but the next week there's something else. And so it becomes easier because you yield it here. It becomes easier to yield there. And so, Lord, help us. It's the same way with even our reading and our prayer, that, you know, we know what we should do, but I'm tired, or this came up, so I'm just going to let this go just a little bit. It becomes easier and easier to do it the next time around. I want to say that a lot of the temptations that the devil presents may not necessarily be to get us to backslide. I believe a lot of the temptations is really to just really make us ineffective as a Christian. Yeah. Limit our power with God. So in other words, if there is something in our life that we're struggling with and we don't get the victory that we need over here, you know, that affects us. It affects our confidence in God. And I believe that it also affects the influence that other people can have in us. If we yield to the temptation of saying or doing certain things that's not beneficial, do you know other people can lose confidence in us? And so what's going on is the devil may not cause us to backslide, but we're not living with the same power and victory that we're supposed to, and that others can look on and be blessed by us. So Lord, help us with that. We need to be careful when it comes to our temptations that we take them seriously. My wife was listening to a minister on the radio, and this particular gentleman was struggling with a particular temptation, and he felt like the Lord gave him a dream. And in this dream, he was suited up in the armor of God. And in the distance, he could see a lion coming to him. And he knew that lion was trying to devour him. But as that lion got closer, he said the lion transformed into a kitten. And that kitten began to talk and said, "I just want you to pet me. I just want to be petted." And what that man did in his dream, he pulled his sword and cut that kitten's head off, because he knew behind that kitten was actually a lion. You know, too many times the temptations, we want to pet them. We want to just kind of go along with them. But what we need to realize is many times it's actually a lion that wants to devour us. That's how our temptations present itself to us. That we're harmless. That it's harmless. Don't underestimate these temptations. Don't flirt with them, so to speak. I want to encourage us to attack and to fight these temptations and to cut off the head. If we depend on the Lord, I believe that He will come through for us. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way escape that you may be able to bear it." And I want to say that God is not limited in His abilities to help us out. When we face temptation, that we be looking for the way out. When we get in our temptations, I want to encourage us to seek the Lord for deliverance. I think sometimes we get in a situation and we say, "Well, I'm in this situation again. I just may as well just wait it out till it passes." I want to encourage us that we don't be passive, that we just don't let things happen or take it lightly, that we go ahead and fight the fight against temptation. And I want to make a note here that when Jesus was fighting temptation, what did He do? He used Scripture. He used Scripture as His offense, and He used it as His defense as well. When I looked at the subject of temptation, I did realize that there's a lot that can be said, and there's a lot that I'm not going to cover here. But I want to say that whatever the temptation is in our life, whether it be great or whether it be small, And if God has told us you should not have yielded to that, I want to say that there is forgiveness in the Lord. And that there is grace and there is power for us to get up and continue with victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. And so I want to encourage us to depend on Him, to resist the devil, to look for deliverance from the Lord, because the Lord wants us to enjoy victory. When we have victory one time, that gives us the confidence in God to have another victory. We need to know that the Lord can take us all the way through. If the Lord did it once for us, be assured that He can do it for us again. I want to thank you for your time.